Good afternoon. This is Dr. David back with another episode of Fresh Start with Dr. David. And it's been a couple of weeks since we've had an episode. Usually, I guess right now, the episodes are coming once a week, once every couple of weeks, which is a good speed for me. I know I've been swamped with consulting work and with new clients, which is a good thing. I'm not complaining at all. And I always say to my clients, regardless of what their beliefs are, when God, the universe, and the world or environment are giving you what you want, don't complain. So I don't complain. I might mention, but I don't complain. And, you know, in a lot of ways, you know, I feel like I'm growing in abundance and prosperity. And these are all the things that I've been asking God and the universe and the world for and myself for. And I'm getting and manifesting them. And I think I'd like to think that it's part of a system that I use with coaching my clients. And my clients are also doing really, really well. So it has been a couple of weeks since the last episode. The last episode that I did was one with an expert on physician compensation. But as if you tuned into the episode, you'll know that can be applied to any situation. So you don't have to be a physician or in the medical sphere in order to benefit from that. There are basic things that anybody can do to improve their worth, value, and how they're seen from an economic standpoint in terms of their vocation and the work that they do. So you should get paid what you're worth. And sometimes that doesn't automatically happen. In fact, oftentimes it doesn't. And you have to show the world that you deserve more. And you also have to believe that you're worth more, but you have to oftentimes show the world that you're worth more. And there are a lot of easy steps that you could do that. So if you are interested in increasing your income or increasing your value or your worth in terms of the skills and expertise that you have, check out that episode. And that brings us to today's episode. So I'm so excited about today's episode. As you know, or may not know, even though I'm an MD and I don't practice medicine, I don't practice psychiatry, I have several holistic mental health and wellness practices, and I also do some consulting work in forensic and addiction psychiatry, but I don't practice medicine or psychiatry. But I also have a practice called Atlanta Small Business Incubator. And I came up with that practice in 2021 because I wanted to be able to provide my clients who have mental health issues or just a personality that's not good for a collective work environment, ways to start their own businesses and to be financially independent just off of their skill sets and expertise. So that's why I started the Atlanta Small Business Incubator. And because of that practice and the work that I do in that sphere in my own practices, I always think of things from a corporate standpoint. But I'm also a person who is kind of empathic and touchy-feely. And I strongly believe in the concept of the soul and the spirit and all those things, as you know, from my first self-improvement book, Sweet Potato Pie for the Spirit, Soul, and Psyche. I mentioned the word spirit, soul, and psyche. And to me, spirit and soul are kind of tied together. But that brings us to today's guest. So because I love things that are all corporate and business and how those things play out in the real world, and because I love the deep, thought-provoking concept of our soul and our spirit and the energy that's associated with all that, I'm so honored to have a special guest today. That is Ms. Pam Buchanan. She is the CEO and founder of Quantum Sense, and she's an expert in both corporate innovation and harnessing soul health. Welcome, Pam.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Dr. David. I'm excited to be here and speak with you and your audience about soul health.
Absolutely. So I'm so excited because my dad's a minister. I grew up in a religious household. I grew up Presbyterian and Lutheran. And then when I was in college, I discovered I had Jewish heritage as well and embraced that. But beyond anything religious, I'm very much a spiritual person. And there's a lot of spiritual guidelines that I kind of embrace, like karma or, you know, the Kantian categorical imperative, otherwise known as the golden rule, treating people right, doing the right thing, acting from integrity and honesty and things like that. So I'm a strong believer in the concept of the soul, but especially during the current turbulent times that we live in. I mean, and, you know, I don't even know where to start when I mention the word turbulent times. There's just, there's no lack of suspects there politically, socially, exactly, financially, and otherwise. I think so many people want to know about the concept of a soul, their soul, where it's headed, what they can do to enhance it, and those kind of things. So if you wouldn't mind, share some of your thoughts and concepts about the soul and kind of how you got started with soul work and soul health.
Yeah, thank you. That's a great question. And I think, you know, it's all encompassing, right? It's a lifelong journey we all, you know, take once we're born into this world and, you know, given our family dynamics, our religious dynamics, the societal dynamics, you know, we all kind of enter and start adapting to those dynamics, because that's all we know.
Absolutely.
And then slowly but surely we're exposed to more and more of the world, the good, the bad, the ugly, and we meet different people, we get to travel, and now especially with the internet, you know, we're the information, we can receive information from across the globe. You know, when I was born into this world that we live in, you know, there wasn't that. You know, it was just the United States, or in fact even your little community was all you knew, uh-huh, right?
Right.
You know, you had to travel by car, and mm-hmm, maybe the, you know, special people got to take the airplane, mm-hmm, or even the train. But our world has opened up. So people are questioning more and more, who am I?
Right.
What am I doing? Am I born into this small community, this large community, you know, community that doesn't resonate with me, or does it resonate with me? Who are these people that I'm surrounding myself with? So I think, you know, I start with a program that I like to call Rad Curiosity, which is radical.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like curiosity is good. And we're all born to a certain extent with that innate curiosity.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes that gets shoved down, right? Like, don't ask questions, just do as you're told. And no, we should want to explore and ask more and more questions. And so, but what are those questions leading to? Are they leading to judgment? Are they leading to just, you know, more information so you get to learn more about yourself? So even when you're curious, you got to take a step back and say to yourself, am I asking this question in a judging way,
right,
or am I asking this question in an open-minded learning way,
right,
correct?
Right.
Like, how do we all learn about different cultures? Like, I was born, as you just said, you were born into a Lutheran Presbyterian. I was born into a Christian-based family, although we weren't that religious, but, mm-hmm, you know, people surrounding me were religious. But if you ask me what my basis was, it was a Christian-based household. How am I supposed to know about a Jewish-based household, mm-hmm, or a Muslim-based household unless I start asking the questions,
right,
in a non-judgmental, more curious, you know, with no bias,
right,
way? And so I encourage people, you know, ask questions of people that are different than you, and then,
yes,
you'll find out, oh, that's fascinating that you grew up that way and that you think that way. Here's how I grew up and how I think. We need to start sharing those in a more of an ownership way. This is who I am, or brought into this world, and here is who I'm evolving to.
Mm-hmm.
So ask yourself, here's who I am, grounded in my being of who I was born into, but I want to evolve, because that's what we're all placed on this earth to do, is to evolve and grow.
Yes.
So, and how do we do that? And now with information flooding into us, right? Like, mm-hmm, we could be on the internet all day, every, mm-hmm, day, and,
yeah,
read hundreds of different stories. We, mm-hmm, can go to bookstores still and read hundreds of different books and turn on the TV. But how do we decipher it into knowledge that is going to be useful to us, or at least give us a better understanding of the world around us? And that's where I start with the senses. So, mm-hmm, I like to say, you know, it's sense to soul.
Okay.
So ground yourself in your sensory being, because,
okay,
we all were born with our senses, yet our senses interpret things differently.
Yeah.
So you and I could both be standing in the exact same environment, let's say in the middle of a large crowd. You get enthused by it, energized by it. Someone else who has, let's say, a different nervous system, a different sensory system, might be overwhelmed and start to shrink.
Yes.
So know yourself. And that is the beginning of your soul's journey, right? Ah. Your soul is the essence of who you are.
Okay.
So we start with, and we've done a great job of, what do we say? Body, mind, and soul, mm-hmm. right? You hear that all the time.
Absolutely.
Body, mind, and soul. So you think, okay, body, I got that down. You know, I have lungs, heart, muscles, bones. I can describe those, right?
Right.
You can describe them. You can visualize them. Mm-hmm. We have programs that, you know, okay, how many steps have you taken today?
Right.
Have you exercised? Have you lifted weights? Are you an athlete? Are you in basketball, football? I mean, it's a part of our culture, mm-hmm. if you will, to talk about your body.
Yeah.
On a daily basis. I mean, really, on a daily basis, we all talk about mm-hmm. our bodies.
Absolutely.
Then we go to your mind.
Yeah.
Right. And so body, mind is now just being studied. Why? Because it was invisible. So
right.
your body is physically out there. Again, just like I said, you can visualize it. You can touch it. You can feel it. You can sense it in many different ways. Your mind and your nervous system aren't quite tangible.
Right.
So now we're just starting to learn about it, even though, let's say we started this in the 80s of learning about your mind and prescribing antidepressants and,
right.
you know, talking more about it openly. And now if you ask somebody, oh, how are you doing? Well, I'm depressed. People don't, you know, shy away from that. Oh, tell me more.
No.
So again, once we start talking about it, it becomes more common to share that. Then we start studying it a little bit more. We start asking more questions about it. There's still a long way to go. I'm sure in your practice, Dr. David, you hear all sorts of different things to deal with the mind, right? And how the mind works.
Oh, absolutely.
And then there's the soul. And people say, what is the soul?
Mm-hmm.
Well, immediately when I start talking about this 4 years ago, they say, oh, you're into religious practice. No, I'm not into religious practice. I'm into your being, into okay. your health, your okay. overall being.
Right.
Because soul is part of you.
Right.
Religion is really a man-made construct,
sure.
not to put it out there, but it is, you know, it's organizations, right, built around.
Absolutely.
People to come together and hear, if you want to say, the gospel, the word of the Lord. You know, again, I'm not a religious base, but
right.
but I understand that that gets groups of people together. There's a common element. But again, you may not fit in to some of those structural things. And they say, oh, your spirit.
Right.
It's almost like they took that spirit from you.
Right.
You're your own. The soul is a little vibrating light inside of you.
Okay.
And so if you can picture just the little vibration of light that probably sits right above your heart, right? Like your love vibration, you know, you hear that all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Are you vibrating out of love? That is your soul. And so let's put it out there into common everyday conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about, I mean, you're not hesitant to talk about, oh, how was your workout today, buddy? You're like, oh, it was great. I lifted all these different weights and yeah, I lifted this. And you're like, oh, good job. And then again, your mind, how are you feeling? You know, people are used to that conversation now.
Right.
But how about your soul being? Is yeah. anyone asking about your soul?
Right.
And I bet you not many people ask about the soul. And but yet it's an essential part of who you are. We're made of three parts, body, mind, and soul. Or like I like to say, it's your organ health, right? Your physical health, your organ health, the heart, the lungs, the, you know, liver. You know, we have medicine and practices, again, that continue to evolve or getting better and better, but basically have been around for centuries. Then your mind, your nervous system, if you will, your brain health, as they're calling it now, right? We're studying more and more about that. And we can all talk about that. What's good for your brain health? What vitamins are you taking to nourish your nervous system and all that? But how about your soul health? Is anyone talking about your soul health? And I will say that in years to come, we will be talking about your soul health.
Absolutely.
In those common terms, if you will, that are disassociated from a religious base, if you will. Because your soul is your higher being.
Right. And so And that makes me so that's one of the things that I was curious about, especially since, you know, and I like to think that things happen by serendipity. But, you know, my first self-improvement book is called Sweet Potato Pie for the Spirit, Soul, and Psyche. And so soul and spirit are both in that title. And for whatever reason, when I came up with that title, my mind separated spirit from soul. Never really thought about it a lot. It just rolled off the tongue. And that's kind of why I went with it, spirit, soul, and psyche. And you know, mind, body, and soul just kind of sounded like it was, you know, overly used, and I wanted something different. But in your thinking, what distinction do you draw between the spirit and the soul, or do you draw one?
So I do think of the spirit as being outside of you, right? Okay. And then the soul is a part of you, inside of you. So I do think that people say the spirit, whether that is your godlike figure, your, you know, universal light, if you will, or spark, if you will, that is what I would consider the spirit.
Okay.
The soul is yours uniquely.
Right. Interesting.
And if you want to say it's part of that universal light, because we're all universally one, correct?
Right.
You know, we're all one and came from that same burst of light, if you will, the spirit.
Right.
Then that's how I would separate that. How do you separate that, the spirit and the soul?
You know, that's a good question. So I was just sitting here trying to come up with an answer while you were speaking. But, you know, and I thought about it and I said to myself, okay, I have an idea of what the soul is. And my idea of the soul sort of kind of matches what you kind of thought. Because I think of the soul as separate from the brain. I didn't have it necessarily in my mind or in my brain in that region. I had it closer to my heart. I didn't know exactly where, but that felt natural to me. With spirit, you know, for some reason, my concept of spirit was either kind of like a force field around me or particles. So to me, I thought of spirit as kind of like particles that are around me that are somehow connected to my soul. And it made me think about vibrational energy and things like that.
Yeah.
Things that I can sense from other people. I love I have certain words. I'm a big vocabulary person. I've always been that way. I've always been probably more verbal than numerical, even though I did really, really well in physics. But I've always been verbally, like my highest IQ scores were always verbally. And for some reason, the word sense or sensation has always been one that I've always been drawn to. And I never knew why. In other words, that start with the letter S. So spirit, soul, psyche, sensation, sense, super. I've always been drawn to those words. And, you know, I believe in a lot of things. I sort of believe in numerology. I sort of believe in astrology. I sort of believe in Kabbalah. I definitely believe in karma. I believe in the law of attraction. I believe in a lot of things and certain things that I was just drawn to. So when I came up with that first self-improvement book, you know, I love the concept of alliteration. I like things rolling off the tongue, and sweet potato pie for the spirit, soul, and psyche just sounded really, really good. But when I thought about spirit, I kind of came up with like particles that are somehow tied to the soul. And I don't know how, but that's kind of what I came up with.
Well, and I think we're talking the same thing, right? Mm-hmm. You're part of each other, but the soul is uniquely you, and the spirit is this universal energy. Mm-hmm. So all things are energy. And nothing else matters, in the words of Nikola Tesla.
Yeah.
So
totally believe that.
We are all energy. So I see the invisible.
Mm-hmm.
Most people, and you probably do too, because you're sensing the energy, the energy that you can't physically see, but is there. So when I connect with people, I see their soul, their energetic vibration, their energetic essence, right? Uh-huh. So ask yourself, am I seeing the essence of this person, or am I seeing just the embodiment of this physical earthly world that we live in?
Right.
And again, we're all brought in and then, you know, plopped in this system that was developed to help people survive. And maybe that was good back in the thousands and thousands of years ago, right? That
right.
was maybe they needed to survive. But guess what? We're past that point now. We should be thriving, not just surviving,
sure.
right? We should be thriving.
Sure.
So how can you put yourself in thrive mode? And my answer is get to know your soul. Get to know your soul so you can thrive.
I love that.
You know your physical being, right? You know your physical being. We can all pick up. We all know, okay, we have to take 1,000 steps here, or, you know, go work out here, or lift weights here for our muscles. And yes, we can call our doctor and say, you know, wow, I think I'm having a heart attack, God forbid. Well, okay, we'll do open heart surgery. I mean, we got that pretty much down, right? Like, because we can visualize that.
Right.
It's the invisible people are now going to start to take a look at, and now they're going to see it. They're going to start to see it because they're going to be soul driven, and they're going to start to thrive in that higher energetic energy that we all have access to. Because there's only two ways of looking at things, your love vibration or your fear vibration.
Okay.
We vacillate between that every single day. Some live more in the fear-based, the survival-based.
Okay.
Some live in the love-thrive-based.
Okay.
But there's really only two ways. Like, our dialogue is based on this love vibration, right? We're in the flow. We're having a good conversation. We're seeking to understand, you know, and learn from each other. That is the love. If we were here debating each other, you know, going at each other, that would be somewhere out of our fear base.
Mm-hmm.
So you really need to ask yourself, am I living out of my soul?
Mm-hmm.
Am I living out of my love vibration?
Mm-hmm.
And we're human, right?
We're
human. So we're here to learn all sorts of lessons and engage with all sorts of different people and environments. But you know, walk away and say, yeesh, I was out of my fear. You know, it was a little more combative or angry or whatever, you know, fear-based emotion you can have. How could I have turned that around to be more of a love introspective way of looking at it?
You know, one thing that's, so I'll mention something that I've kind of never, I think I may have mentioned it to a few people before.
Yeah.
And I try to, with the life coaching work that I do with my clients, I try to interject personal stuff if I think it'll benefit the person, right?
Yes.
So I know, like, a lot of psychologists and psychotherapists and counselors kind of take this hands-off approach. I've never believed in that. In my practices are, you know, holistic, Freudian, Ericksonian, Lacanian.
Yep.
But, you know, I believe that you should use the energy and the thoughts that come to you if it's going to help other people. I really do. And so sometimes when people come in, I'll use analogies or I'll use personal experiences if I think it's going to help them grow or help them feel that they're not alone. But one phenomenon that happens, and it seems like, I think now that I kind of retrospectively look back at it or reflectively look back at it, I think it was there when I was really, really young. It kind of disappeared, and now it seems to be coming back. But sometimes when people come in my office, I get a sense of them, and it has nothing to do with their appearance. It's just a feeling, you know? And I think it goes back to what you were saying, but it's just a feeling. And every once in a while, somebody will come in, and I just feel a certain glow that's coming from them. And I try to say, well, you know, let me not, like, project it. Hopefully it's not me projecting that onto them. Mm-hmm. Hopefully I'm truly, truly sensing what's coming from them. But it's weird because it seems like the older I get, and maybe I don't know what it is, I don't have a word for it besides being empathic or something similar to that. But some people, I just feel their energy, and I can close my eyes and I can still feel it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And that's you know, really at their soul essence, right? They're vibrating at that, and you're picking up on that vibration.
Okay.
And then your sensory being is, you know, having, you know, to decipher that, right? Just like you said, you're not deciphering it out of your physical being or even your mind. You're deciphering out of your intuition, your knowingness, your soul, because souls vibrate.
Right.
So that's what you're getting to the essence of, is the soul being. So if we can break down that physical barrier, if you will, or that physical body, and get to know the soul's essence and introduce that to that person, because that person may not even know,
right,
or tapped into the soul essence,
right,
they're still, you know, vibrating at what societal has put into their being, right? Like the energy. And as you said at the beginning of this conversation, there's a lot of angst out there. A lot of angst. But what's happening is we're breaking all of that structure down. So it has to happen where we break it all down so that we can, as a society, live in more of a higher vibrating love vibration, if you will, and out of our soul's essence.
You know, and the funny thing about it too is, I think when I was a child, when I was really young, I was very intuitive about things. And I would feel things from people and I would express it. And sometimes I would be told it was inappropriate. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Especially like people who were suffering or people who had a disability. And I didn't understand it at the time. I remember when I was like maybe in second grade or third grade, there was a kid who had some developmental challenges. Probably, now that I look back, probably cerebral palsy. And there was just an energy I felt from that person. And I think I expressed it. And I think I actually, I can't remember if I got in trouble or what it was, but it's just, I felt something from that person and I felt really bad. And I didn't know how to express that as a second grader. And I had a lot of other situations like that now looking back where I could just feel energy from people. And I think sometimes I was probably told that you know, that's inappropriate or that's bad or whatever. And I probably kind of shut things down, but it seems like the older I get, the more that sense, that energy seems to be coming back to me.
Yeah. And that's typically what happens, right? You have it as a child, and then societal structure that we live in, no fault of anyone's,
right?
Because, you know, they're not awakened. Maybe some people were blessed to have an awakened environment around them that nurtured that.
Right.
But most of us weren't. And they were like, wow, you can't say that, or how did you know that, or blah, blah, you know, and that's that person's business. Don't, you know, let's not interfere.
Right.
But if we all were connected at the soul level, think about how great our world would be.
True.
Because we would be vibrating at a much higher level and understanding each other despite barriers. So there should be no physical barrier. There should be no mental mind barrier. And I always like to say, if you say, catch yourself, say this: if I think, I think this is good, that's coming from your brain. Okay. That is coming from your thinking mind brain.
Right.
If you say, I know this to be true.
Right.
It is your knowing. It is your soul saying that.
Yeah.
So if you can, if only you did that one thing, if you say, I think this is pretty good, you're analyzing it, you're calculating it, you're putting in all the information that societal puts in your brain. But if you have a knowing, and this is what I would say, well, I know, this is what I know. And people would say, well, how do you know that? I'm like, well, I don't know. I just know.
I just know. Right.
There's no numbers, facts, figures, but it comes from a higher essence, right? That is already calculated, that all in there. So it's wisdom. It's coming from an innate wisdom. So what is your innate wisdom?
Right.
And you know how they say children can be very wise,
yes,
too. And they say the truth, because they're feeling that vibration. And so they come in with that. And then society says, this is the way you look, you talk, you da 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 da. And this little vibrating being is out there going, wow, this is what you do. Okay, I guess I'll try to fit in. And then before you know it, they've lost touch with their soul.
Right.
With their essence of who they are.
Right.
So, and if you even want to go, so we've gone through, you know, we've gone through the Y generation is the millennials.
Mm-hmm.
The Z generation, we have Generation Z. Now I'm trying to think. Z, and then we have the alpha generation.
Yeah.
So the alpha babies are being born.
And Gen right? X. And we have Gen X.
Well, and we have Gen X. So we've gone through the alphabet.
Yeah. True.
So X, millennial, which is Y, and then Gen Z, which is Z. And now we're producing alpha babies. And you look at those babies and they come in all knowing. So look at a Gen Alpha kid. They're going to recreate the world.
Wow.
They are going to recreate the world. So it's fascinating time, right? And I'm just excited because I'm older, but I'm excited that I get to witness that, right? So
absolutely.
I was born with a knowing and not really fitting in. And I have an identical twin sister.
Oh, wow.
So I was born, same egg, same sperm.
Right.
Split, right? So people would say, oh, you're one person. Well, physically we look alike.
Right.
Maybe, I guess our mind may be alike, but our souls are different.
Right.
We entered the world with a different soul.
Right.
So we are two individuals. And even though, and maybe I was born so that I could really emphasize this, mm-hmm. you can look exactly like somebody.
Right.
Born into the same family.
Right.
With the same mind. And yet your essence is completely different.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So that would be my example is you can take identical twins. You can, and yes, are there similarities physically? Absolutely. You know, you could, maybe you would have her on the podcast. You'd say, my God, you sound exactly like Pam, right? So our voices sound the same. You could say, yeah, you look a lot alike or whatever you identify, but that's in the 3D physical world. Are you looking at it from the 5D, more higher vibrating, love-based, soul-based world?
Now, so one thing, and then I'm going to ask you some some questions that I've had a lot of people who kind of knew about this episode coming up have asked me to ask you. But one thing I'm kind of curious about, I'm just going to jump to real quick, just because it's kind of I guess it's obscure, but it's kind of something that's gotten a lot of attention probably in the last few decades, but a lot of people still don't know about. And I'm just kind of curious based off of your kind of background, you know, kind of in quantum physics and these kind of concepts. What do you think about the law of attraction?
Yeah, I do believe in the law of attraction. I think some people and some even experts go about it in the wrong way.
Right.
Because literally all it is vibrating at that level that you want that abundance to come in. So again, are you vibrating out of abundance or
right.
are you vibrating out of scarcity?
Right.
Again, love or fear?
Right.
Abundance, love, scarcity, fear. So a lot of times, let's say you want to manifest abundance in whatever form that takes, you got to remember the universe doesn't speak in physical terms.
Right.
It speaks in vibrational terms. And so abundance, what does that mean to you?
Right.
Does it mean surrounded by beautiful things? Does it mean surrounded by, you know, love-based people? What is the abundance, you know, looking like? And so, yes, I want to get and live in this certain neighborhood. Okay. Am I vibrating? Is this neighborhood vibrating at that love abundance? Where am I going to be at the highest vibration? So again, that goes back to your soul. What is your soul's essence? If you tap into your soul's essence, you're going to manifest and the law of attraction is going to come so much easier because you're living out of your soul's essence.
I love how you worded that.
Not out of your physical essence, right? So think of your soul's essence. Yes, I want to be surrounded by beauty. I love to be by the ocean. I love to be surrounded by beautiful, you know, artistic, creative people and interesting people. Where is that going to happen for me? You know, so let's say you're living in a small community that's dark and clouded, and whether it's the location, whether it's the people, visualize yourself in this bright, abundant area, right? And then start vibrating that you know, living in that way, if you will. Whether it's wearing the brighter clothes, let's say, start changing just slowly little things physically in your world. And then you start attracting that because you're vibrating at that much higher level.
So I have been told that you were previously, prior to creating, you know, Soul Health and Quantum Sense, that you were in the corporate world. Is that true?
I was in the corporate world for 40 years.
40 years. Oh, my God. So can you share a little bit about that?
I have a lot of lessons. So, yeah. So I, you know, again, being a child of the 60s and, you know, societal,
strong work ethic.
Yeah, strong work ethic, you know, father worked hard, mother stayed at home, made the home beautiful, you know, and I wanted to go out in the world and make my own way and live in a big city. And so I was blessed that I got opportunities, right, that I interviewed for, and I started in asset management back in the day with mutual funds and ended up running a division of a major asset management company. Wow. And with that comes a lot of stress.
Yeah.
And you didn't see a lot of women in my position, right? But I put myself unknowingly, I guess, in a position where, you know, when you're in sales, you know, everyone, you know, in sales, there's some equality to it, right? Because you either get paid because you sell something or you don't get paid. Right. So, you know, as long as you're producing and selling, then your salary is going to be equivalent to your male counterpart.
Right.
So, you know, and whether I was naive and believed in myself at that level, but, you know, I was friendly and curious and, you know, again, was blessed to have this very lucrative career in asset management. But and I traveled the primarily the U.S., and got to meet fascinating people, and which kept me going. Again, that curiosity part, right? And yet the money started coming in, which was great. Oh, you should buy a house. I bought a house. And so you physically and mentally, everything is stimulated. But then the soul's essence is like, but what am I creating, really? You know, am I buying into the, you know, this corporate culture? Again, it was very, you know, in all respects, kind to me. You know, there's some bumps along the road. There were some challenges, which everything comes with bumps and challenges.
Yeah.
So then I thought there has to be something more out there. And so I left this highly lucrative career that I felt I was fairly good at and wanted to explore more. Now, I didn't know what more was, but again, that's taking a risk. So when something in my soul was calling, saying, there's more, there's more, there's more. You know, this isn't 100% fulfilling. Although if you looked at it from all counts, it should have been fulfilling, right? And I had friends, I may not have had, you know, romantic relationships that I wanted, but I thought, you know, I need to get there. What can I do? What can I change up? So I left that. And then I went and worked in another area where I worked for NASDAQ stock market, taking companies public. So I got the, you know, privilege of getting to know the Elon Musk, the Mark Zuckerbergs, the very highly innovative, creative, risk-taking people. And I lived in Silicon Valley, which is a bubble. And I say I saw the future being developed. I literally was living the future. And it was fascinating. But again, it was intense. And so my little sensitive soul out there is like, okay, where am I going? You know, and it is, you know, very competitive, takes a lot of your energy. My energy was being drained. And so, you know, you can physically only last that long if your body, mind, and soul are not all aligned. So that's where it's like, okay, what does my soul need? What is it saying to me? And so I left that to start, you know, something new, not knowing exactly what form it would take. So that's what I always encourage people to, you know, listen to that inner knowing. You don't have to have it all figured out, right?
It's,
a lot of people say, oh, I have to have a plan. I have to do this. That's your mind saying that.
Right.
If you want to attract abundance and law of attraction, you've got to put yourself out there.
Yes.
And it will respond. So if you're doing the same thing over and over again at this certain vibrational level, that's all that's going to keep coming to you.
True.
If you take a step out and then, you know, elevate your being to that higher vibration, guess what's going to happen? Then all the things that your soul essence wants are going to start
You're going to attract them.
You're going to attract them. Now, you have to be open enough. Again, the rad cure, open your mind to seeing it. Because right. sometimes it's plopped in front of you and a lot of people don't see it.
Yeah.
So then I go into the signs and the symbols. And yes, I'm into numerology and
Love
astrology.
It.
You take all those tools.
Same here.
So what I've developed is a soul collective. So, and I bring that into corporations as the experts. So like Dr. David, you and I offline, let's talk about it, right? I want your expertise. I want your knowledge. I want to build programs around and take you into corporate America. Cause that's where I do have a great understanding of corporate America for living that long. And mm-hmm. I want to elevate it. And I say to the corporations, you have programs on your physical health and that's great, right? You have gym memberships,
right.
You talk about nutrition, you have classes on, you know, what the physical body is. That's great.
Mm-hmm.
You now even have, you know, mental health days, right?
Yep.
They have mental health days.
And
you
self-improvement.
Have, you know, therapists, self-improvement, all of that. Check that. But what programs do you have on your soul health?
Yeah.
And I'm here to talk about the soul health.
So
in a lot of different dimensions. So, but yes, I had a very long, I would say successful, met fascinating people, primarily all great people. And yes, there's, I'm not going to say it was all, you know, roses and butterflies, right? So there were
no,
challenges
I'm sure.
along the way. There were challenges along the way, but
yeah.
in my essence, I saw the person's soul
right.
and I wanted good for all. When you're striving for a win-win situation, you know, you're at your soul's essence.
So, yeah, so that's a perfect segue to some of the last few topics that I wanted to cover. So, you know, obviously it jumped out to me and then a lot of people who knew about this episode coming up too, that you had worked closely with tech giants like Elon Musk and Mark Zuckerberg. And, you know, I know that there's one movie about Mark Zuckerberg and Facebook and how that whole thing came about and I haven't even actually seen that movie. I've seen it. It's come on HBO a couple of times and I didn't see it from beginning to end. And I just said, well, I want to see the whole thing. I don't want to see bits and pieces. And obviously
yep.
Elon Musk has heavily been in the news lately. Tell me a little bit about those experiences with Elon Musk and Mark Zuckerberg,
yeah.
either those organizations or with those individuals.
Yeah. So, you know, knowing individuals at the start of something is mm-hmm. so different than knowing them once they've gained a certain amount of success,
yes.
right?
Yes.
So I will say I'm a huge fan of Elon Musk. You know, you talk about a curious mind, you talk about an open mind. And I'm not saying that, you know, hey, we all evolve, we all have success and material things get in the way. But at their core, you know, Elon has always been focused on, I want to better humanity in some form or fashion, right? So who would ever go out to develop a space rocket?
Right.
Right. He didn't have knowledge of a space rocket.
Right.
He just had that inkling,
vision.
Like that soul's desire. I want to build a better rocket.
Right.
I want to get to know. And maybe, yeah, he's out there that I want to live on Mars or there's life on Mars. And, you know, but you have to firmly, what I've learned from all these entrepreneurs
mm-hmm.
is that you are so grounded in your belief
yes.
of that product, that service being
yeah.
a betterment to the world,
yeah.
right? So, you know, curious, you know, respectful, ask questions. So again, was he a little bit different? They were all different,
right?
Like their beings were different. They
right.
were brought into this world. So when you know these people that are so different, in fact, I had a boss once, we sat with, you know, whether it was a CFO, a CEO, and he goes, oh, I don't know that meeting. I don't know if it went well. I'm like, oh, no, it went great. And they're like, really? I'm like, oh, yeah, they're just awkward in communication, right?
Right.
Like they were just awkward. But when you're brought in to do greatness, it doesn't mean you fit the norm.
Right.
It does not mean you fit the norm. So yet society has a way of putting the norm or the not the norm down, right? Just like you're saying, was it someone that came in with disabilities, someone that spoke differently, someone that looked differently? You know, we all have to open our mind and be accepting of these individuals and what can they contribute.
Right.
So I did not work directly with Mark Zuckerberg. I worked with his entire team for years and years and years. And so I did not know him directly. Probably a little known fact, he was not involved, if you will, in the direct process of an IPO from, you know, a listing perspective. Now, Elon was a daily conversation. So there's the difference, right? So definitely two different human beings, but talk about not just their mind, but their essence of wanting to do something different. And develop their soul mission. Now, did it go off track a little bit? Maybe some would say maybe. You know, but look at what they did to change the world. Look what they did to change the world, in whether you view that as good or bad, it needed to be changed. And it elevated us to a different point where we're looking at things differently.
So, yeah. And that's, so that's a great segue to the next thing I wanted to ask you about. So, since, you know, all of these, those, both of those people have to do with technology, obviously. You do a lot of work with corporate culture and organizations and things like that. One of the biggest things, and I'm sure you have your thoughts about it, but one of the biggest things that people are discussing and talking about and contemplating and philosophizing about right now is AI, artificial intelligence. So tell me a little bit about your thoughts about AI and how that's going to, how that could potentially change the relationships that we have between each other and our energy and what do you think about it?
I'm a big fan of it.
Really?
I'm a huge fan of it. So I think with everything, it has to be monitored and you have to open your mind. Again, there's good and there could be bad, right? So let's elevate it so that it, again, the good overtakes maybe anything that's created can, someone else can take and maybe do a bad quote unquote thing with it. Anything. So I think that it will elevate us to a different level in terms of our energetic beings. And so whether that's through art creation, whether that's really dissecting and saying, okay, what is the essence of a human being, right? Because it's basically taking, okay, you have, let's say your physical robot, let's say a physical robot is going to be serving us at McDonald's, right? And that's taking the human body. And then you have the mind. So the AI, people are looking at it in terms of formulas and calculations and computing. It takes the mind to a whole new level that can create health benefits, that can create just structures and buildings. And I think it will create a thriving environment for us that humans cannot possibly even fathom, but yet humans together at a quantitative computative level can create a better world. A better world. I really believe that. But what does that leave us humans? The soul essence. So how are you living out of your soul essence and the relationships? Because nothing is going to take the place of your friends, of your, you know, intimate relationships, of your family. That we will have time to focus on the true essence of our being.
How does soul health relate to sound and neuroscience?
So soul health. So I, again, it's sense to soul, right? So if, because I'm taking the visible to the invisible. So we all have our senses. And what do our senses do? They interact with the outside environment. So that's why I also call it outside in. So what are you taking from the outside inward and synthesizing it according to your nervous system, right? So the senses are connected to your nervous system. We could go through that whole biology of that and that neuroscience of that. And neuroscience is a big buzzword because that's how we're taking everything in and it affects our nervous system. And no one has taken a look at how life affects our nervous system. So let's start with the senses. So visually, like if you really believe like paint and materials, they all have a certain vibration. And are they vibrating at a higher level, or is a certain color bringing you down? Like, what I like to say too is, let's say your grandma gives you a brown couch for free, and you think, okay, monetarily, got to take the brown couch. It may have holes in it. It may be pristine. But let's say the color brown doesn't vibrate for you at what it vibrates for other people. You can't not afford to not get rid of that couch. So are you tapping into your environment at that level? Like, are you walking into a room and saying, oh, are you walking into a room and going, ah,
right?
Because the more higher vibration objects you put into that environment, living or not living,
right,
the higher your being is going to be. Because guess what? The vibration, the negative vibration is heavy, and that molecule is heavy. So the old saying goes, back in sales, back in the 1980s when I learned this, is that you say one negative, it takes nine positives to outweigh that one negative comment.
Right.
That's how heavy the negative fear-based vibration is. So that's why I say, humanly possible, put as much positive vibration, and that's naturally going to raise your vibration. You know how if you're with a friend, let's say, that is mostly negative, you walk out of the room, how do you feel? You feel blah, right? Like,
yeah,
even if you're a naturally high vibrating
right
person, and you want to be there for that friend. But if you're there day in and day out, guess what happens? Your vibration falls to that level, because again, the negative is much heavier. And we could go
right
into the science of all of
right
that.
Quantum
but it's proven
physics, yeah.
Science. Yes,
yeah,
it's a proven scientific fact.
Uh-huh.
So if you think of it even that way, right? Like, where am I going to eat dinner? Why do you think all of, not just the selfies, but people want to live in a, or go to an uplifting environment? If
right
I'm going to go out to eat, not only do I want the food to be healthy or good for me, but how about what environment are they creating? And that's where the senses come in. So you're going to notice more sensory immersion type events are taking place, and it's taking off. So guess what just happened? Guess what just opened? One of the biggest sensory events or buildings built so far, the sphere.
Ah,
Vegas.
Yeah.
The sphere. And guess
too
what?
Everybody's talked about it too. Yeah.
Right? Why?
Because, and there's a movie called The Sphere too, starring Sharon Stone, which I love.
There you go.
The movie Sphere came out probably a couple of decades ago. It stars, and it wasn't necessarily well received, but it's about this energy. If you've ever seen the movie.
And I haven't. I'm going to go look it up.
Yeah.
Right now.
It stars Sharon Stone. It's got the cast is fabulous. It's incredible. Stars Sharon Stone. It stars Samuel L. Jackson. It stars Liev Schreiber and Dustin Hoffman. And it's a brilliant movie.
Love it.
And it's about something that comes to Earth that's an energy that we can't explain. And it's in the form of a sphere.
There you go. There you go. Look at that.
Yeah.
See, it all comes full circle. So like what you're doing is relating back to, you know, whether it's childhood experiences, but that's what you get. Once you start getting to your soul's essence, all of this is going to start popping up. Like, I did that when I was younger. I knew that. But then society,
yep,
and you can group in there, family, friends,
the world,
whatever,
the environment. Yeah.
The world, the environment you lived in, again, based on survival. We were based on survival. Now we're headed towards a thriving environment. And you can be a part of that. In fact, the energy wants you to be a part of that. So everyone is going to elevate. So I have net, it's sense to soul. Your senses play an important part of that, because then they visualize you and start you on your journey to your soul. Because we're all human beings placed on this planet Earth. And so how are we going to live out that life based on our human bodies, our physical? I'm not saying the physical isn't important. It is important.
Right.
But we have an awful lot of knowledge around it. Mental, I'm not saying mental isn't important. We're getting more and more knowledge about it.
Right.
But let's talk. But if you take care of those two and don't know your soul, you're missing out. And you're missing out on the key. It's truly the key to living a healthy, joyful life.
And that brings me to the last question I wanted to ask
okay
you about before we wrap up today. And it's kind of a culmination of things. So You know, obviously one of the biggest events that's affected all of us, and when I say all of us, I mean everybody on this planet in recent years, is COVID-19. You know, and COVID-19 has not just affected us physically, but it's also affected us emotionally, psychologically, and otherwise, and socially. And it's affected how we socialize and the degree to which we socialize. And more specifically, it's affected workplaces. So, you know, so many people have a hybrid workplace these days. Some people don't even have an office to go to at all. They just work from home, which totally changes the dynamics in marriages and families. You know, some people have the option of one or the other. I know for a while there were tons of articles in magazines like the Wall Street Journal and Investor's Business Daily that saying that employers were going to start requiring people to go back to work because it's hard to measure productivity. And a lot of people were just sitting at home drinking all day and things like that. But the question I'm getting to is one that's based off kind of how we socialize, because, you know, if we have a soul and we, you know, interact with other people, perhaps those other people and their souls interact with our souls, and that changes things. And so in your opinion, in terms of, like, you know, the future of work and kind of how workplaces are evolving and becoming more or less sustainable and things like that, how does soul health and soul connections relate to that, in your opinion?
I think that it's even more and more important, right? Mm-hmm. That the individual, if you are, let's say, working from home, not going into an office, you start to look at yourself more, mm-hmm. right? You're in this room by yourself primarily at a home. What's your home look like? I mean, who are you? What are you doing? How are you interacting with these people? And I think that is taking our self in curiosities to a deeper level. So we're almost being forced, if you will, mm-hmm. to take a look and find out what is more and who am I in relation to this big world, because you can kind of get lost. I mean, I love going into the office. Mm-hmm. I love being with people. Yeah. I, you know, again, energetically, I bounced off of those. So I think eventually you're going to need to have a hybrid type model, because energies cannot be transferred via Zoom
right
as easily as right. they can in humans.
Sure.
Because you and I can get a sense of your energy, you can get a sense of my energy yes. over this conversation, but if we were in person, we'd have a full image
Absolutely.
Of that image of that energy. So we are going towards looking at our energetic beings. And so I think, again, first, let's get to know ourselves and our soul at our soul level, not at our physical level, not at our mental level even, but at our soul level. So I think that that's where this post-COVID is again, I don't like to use the word forcing, but has given us the opportunity, I guess,
yeah.
to look at ourselves. And that's hard.
Yeah.
That is hard, because that's where we all run away. Like, oh my God, I can't, I need to get out of here. I need to go be with other people so I don't focus on myself. But what if we started asking the right questions?
Yeah.
Right? Like, what does my soul want? I mean, and tapping into that knowing, not the thinking, but the
right.
knowing, not what the internet, we all scroll and I see a cute outfit. Ah, I need that outfit. That will make me happy.
Yeah. Temporarily.
You know, But what is my soul essence, and what am I meant to do with this, and what am I meant to give back?
What is my journey?
We're all born to give back, right?
What is my journey?
Yeah. What is my journey? And if you're in survival mode, you can't give back.
True.
If you're in thrive mode, you can give back.
That is true.
So what are you giving back? And how can I, you know, like, let's say I was just sick. Well, I can't give anything because my body's struggling physically to get healthy, right? Like, okay, I'm in basically, if you want to call it, sick mode, survival mode, right?
Right, right.
And so it's like, oh my God, how can I get to thrive mode? Because I want to be in my thrive state. Well, I do first have to take care of my body. So there are some things that you have to first do, right? So, you know, look at that. And say, have I taken care of my body and my mind? But I can still start asking questions about my soul. And once I start putting soul essence products, environments, people, like, am I talking to a soul that I want to you know, hang out with? Are they living through their soul self? Are they living through societal survival self?
Wow. Wow. I love that. That's a great way to close up too. That is a great way. This has been such a fascinating conversation. I would love to have you back again to talk about some of these topics and even
absolutely
kind of let's do dive a deeper dive.
Absolutely. Let's do it.
Absolutely. So Pam, I have a question. Where can people find your book?
Yeah, I don't have a book yet.
What? No. I'm ready to buy the book now.
Oh, well, thank you.
I'm like, where can I find the book?
You can find me on LinkedIn. Uh-huh. So you can go to Pam Buchanan at LinkedIn or Quantum Sense at LinkedIn.
Okay.
And website's becoming shortly. I'm revamping the website, so that's coming out next week. So Quantum Sense, the Quantum Sense.
Quantum Sense. I love the sound of that. Quantum. Yeah. And sense together. That's a very powerful combination.
The reason is quantum is at a different energetic vibration.
Right.
So we got to start living at a different vibration. And sense is your sensory being, your essence. So let's start living our quantum sense.
Let's do it. Thank you so much for being a guest.
Dr. David.
This has been great. My audience has been asking for this. I love it. I have people who ask me about quantum physics all the time. I also have people who ask me about the soul, the spirit, the psyche. How does this all work together? So this has been very insightful.
It all comes together and we can even go deeper next time. Absolutely. I'd love to.
Thanks so much for being a guest today.
Thanks, Dr. David. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. You guys take care. Thanks so much for joining us.
Bye-bye.
Bye.